You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon, almost evening.
Every time you say that, I think of the Moody Blues.
How's that? Because how I say it?
Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, as if you don't notice, Bob is not here. I get Tom for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I noticed when you walked in and looked through the glass window and saw me sitting on the other side.
Disappointment?
A kind of a look on your face said, oh, no.
Disappointment in my face. No,
was
no.
Was that what it was? Disappointment?
It's like my kids bringing home a bad grade. Oh, you're going to get it. No, I enjoy you, Tom. You're fine. It's just a curveball. You threw me a curveball.
I didn't. I got a call. I got a text that said, hey.
Come on in.
We need you to come in.
That's okay. I'm used to you now, Tom. We're good. Busy show today. Obviously, only an hour. But let me tell you, we're going to probably talk some ports. Whatever that means.
That's where ships go.
Or wine or something. We're going to talk to Betsy Bruce here about 6:15. She's helping the Easter Seals with a big event Thursday. Mr. Ahn's on Thursday night, cooking for the stars or on the stars with Sean Miller, Corey Williams, Reg Geary, Lamont Lovett, some of those guys. I'll give you the list here in a bit. That's Thursday at Mr. Ahn's. So I'll ask her if there's tickets still. I've been to this event about 3 or 4 times. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, the food is fantastic at Mr. Ahn's. So we'll talk about that and what they raise it for. They're part of a big deal with El Tour as well as being one of the nonprofit partners. We'll talk maybe a little about that at the 6:15 hour in about 8 minutes. And then at 6:30, we're going to talk to David Thomas, former coach here in Tucson. He's now in Phoenix as an assistant at one of the schools, the NAIA schools up there. I don't know if you heard this. It's up in Gilbert. That a coach, a high school coach in Mountain Point in Phoenix, was accused of sharing strategies with other teams around the state when his team played them, when his school played them.
I saw something about that. I didn't read the whole story, so I'm counting on you to fill in the blanks.
We'll talk about that at the 6:30 hour. In fact, Dave is the one that alerted me to that. He says, have you heard? I said, no, I'm just getting out of bed.
Run that by me again.
The coach, a coach at school.
No. What you just said. David is learning you?
Huh? I'm just learning of the situation.
Oh, all right.
He called me this morning, okay. Or he texted me this morning, and he said, did you hear? And I said, no, I'm just learning of the situation when he texted me. So he said, send me more information. And I said, you want to come on after I read about it? And I said, this would be a good topic to talk about today. So coaches, I've heard kind of this before where, you know, schools get the playbook from other schools and start using that as a cheat sheet for what could come up. And you've seen teams where they so thoroughly dominate another team, you wonder, did they have their playbook? I'm sure you've seen that a time or two.
Well, but you know what I'm mystified by is they're sharing their playbooks knowingly?
No, this call was
or he
coming.
Had he had the playbook of another school.
No.
That one of his buddies was going to play.
No. This is in-house. The call is coming from inside the house. So he's part of this school, X, Mountain Point. And he would tell the opponents what was coming up against his own school. He was like a rat inside his own school.
And he was the coach.
And he was a coach for another school, for a different sport.
Okay. Well, I was trying to figure out why in the world.
So apparently this is how, I don't know how it broke. I don't know how the people, the media found
out.
What
did he coach, do you know?
He coached girls basketball, in addition to assistant coach football.
And he was sharing
information.
The football team information with other
teams.
Team coaches, correct. Schools coaches.
Apparently, maybe how it broke is he sent it to, they played Vegas, I think it was. It's a team in Vegas. And the coach said, no thanks, I don't need this.
And the coach and the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator didn't go beat this guy up?
Well, we don't know what's happened since. We don't know what happened since, but we'll talk to Dave about it because I know you're eager to know the way you're asking the questions. So we'll see what happens. So did you pay attention to, we can talk about football. Look at me. I said Wednesday, I expecting just to say this to you. I said this yesterday. What the heck do I know about Arizona football?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I want you to indulge me here for a few minutes and speculate.
Okay.
The Arizona Wildcats are going to be playing between now and the end of October, or
okay,
Halloween, between now and Halloween, let's say. UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the team that we saw Arizona put on the field yesterday...
Saturday.
Were to play the team that we saw UCLA put on the field Saturday, who do you think would win?
Oh, come on. That's not even close. Arizona wins.
Against the team that USC put against Brigham Young. Brigham Young won 30-27 in overtime.
I know.
That might be a toss-up.
Could be a toss-up, but the circumstances won't be that, so I get it. I'll say toss-up.
But they could win it.
Of course, yeah.
All right. The Arizona team that we saw goes up against Stanford that lost to University of Central Florida 45-27. That Stanford team.
You have a chance.
I would think so. And the Colorado team that lost to Air Force 30-23.
You have a chance. So tell me your exact point.
At the end of October, Halloween, the Wildcats could have a...
Five and one record. Yeah, or if they don't show up like they played on Saturday.
No, wait a minute. They're 2-1 now.
Right.
If they run the table, that makes them 6-1.
Yes, if I grow a couple of inches, I'll be over 6 foot.
Well, anyway, that was fun.
That was...
Between now and then, there's going to be a lot of coaching going
on. Tom, you're I've known you for about 5-6 months. You're an optimist, I assume.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. Why not? Why not be optimistic?
That was a good answer. Let me say this.
But I know that, like I just said, between now and Halloween, there's going to be a lot of coaching, and there's going to be changes.
Are the other coaches coaching?
We're assuming.
You're assuming.
Maybe
UCLA
not,
is
maybe
horrible.
Maybe not UCLA.
UCLA is horrible. So I think Arizona will probably win that game. The other games on the road,
we're going to see
tough.
Stanford make some improvements.
Sure. You're going to see USC make
USC
some
improvements. USC is going to try to make some improvements. They'll probably do a little better than UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
But I see Arizona not having too much trouble with UCLA at this point in time. That's their next opponent, September 28th.
Right. And then Colorado on the road.
That may be a toss-up. But the thing is, we're not saying that Arizona is going to lose these games.
Well,
we're saying they have a chance.
After Saturday's performance. They've convinced you enough to say, I'm not going to say they're going to lose. Well, there's that.
The offense is improving step by step, it looks like. They did better. They've been doing better every game.
On a scale of 1 to 10, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Now we're seeing the defense being utilized, the players that the team has being utilized to their best abilities.
So that's one game, and that's what you've surmised from this?
I think that they've learned something. They obviously are using their defensive players better than they've had in the past.
Well,
witness the second half against NAU.
Do you realize, well, let me ask you, Texas Tech, how good were they?
They were better than NAU.
Okay, good answer.
And, you know, and I think better than Hawaii.
Okay, you can think whatever that. Okay, I'll say maybe. Okay, and Arizona showed up to play.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Apparently, the players on defense liked what they were being allowed to do in the game against Texas Tech.
You got that
sense? They seemed to be playing happier.
Because you saw that how? Where'd you get this from?
The way they played.
Doctor?
They were aggressive. They were knocking the receivers off their routes, whichever word pronunciation you want to use. not letting them get wide open receptions. Well, they were getting to the quarterback.
Let me revert to what I always say. I've said it here 1,000 times. Every day, every game is a season, and that was the season that Arizona won, and we'll see what the next season brings.
I will admit this. Texas Tech, as a team, especially defense, was not physically prepared.
No,
they were not really in good shape.
And like I said this morning on Chris DeSimone's show, do you realize what happened to the quarterback yesterday? Texas Tech, yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Would he have to undergo some
he's out for
examination?
A while. He's out for a while because he got hurt in that game but still tried to play. I mean, that was just revealed. So he was playing hurt for them. They had no chance of winning that game because of his ability to not do anything.
But you could see, late in the first half, Texas Tech's defense was starting to show signs of fatigue. And in the second half, in the just about the whole fourth quarter, they had had it. They were out of gas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, let's take a break now. I think Betsy's going to call in a bit. So let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And what the heck did you just do to me, Tom?
Betsy will tell you.
Oh, man. Betsy Bruce, how are you?
Steve, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Isn't that a lovely introduction?
Oh.
I had no idea. I even had a song with my name in it.
Wow, I didn't know that. See, Tom, I'm not sure whether to applaud you or say, what the heck did you just do?
But both.
Good to have you, Betsy. How are you?
Steve, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for allowing me to help publicize this fantastic event that's coming up Thursday at Mr. On's on Oracle. It's called Cooking with the Stars, and you have attended in the past.
Yes, yes.
And you'll be attending this Thursday. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it should be fun. I've been there a number of times, like I said, before you came on. It's a fantastic time with some great people raising a lot of money for your great cause, which, of course, is Easter Seals.
That's right. You know what? We are actually biggest behavioral and social services agency in Southern Arizona, and it's so hard to describe what we do, but we affect the lives of thousands of Arizonans with behavioral and physical disabilities. We help them live their best lives, you know, from newborns to adults. We're very proud of our organization and our clients.
You've been doing this for a number of years, too, because I always see you there hobnobbing and kind of mingling around with some of the great stars, you know, up from Luis Gonzalez. But, you know, it seems like every year it gets better and better.
See, that is so lovely for you to say. You know, it originally started probably 25 years ago, and Coach Lute Olson was kind enough to grant us the honor of allowing his players to come to what was then Sakura over on Tenga Verde and cook at the Teflon tables for a sold-out crowd. And Coach Miller, who, by the way, will be one of our celebrity chefs, decided that he wanted to focus more. And so what we did was we just gathered former U of A athletes and media people and politicians to man the Teflon tables with, of course, the help of a professional chef.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody dies, Steve. Yes. It's dangerous.
Yes, no, and they do a great job. First, they learn how to do it, and then they kind of try to practice to do it, and they have their sidekick helping them along the way. But let's get a list of your people there. Luis Gonzalez, you said Sean Miller, the winningest coach last year, Adia Barnes, Greer Jigiri, Corey Williams, Chuck Cecil, Christina Baiana. She's been there for a while now, obviously the golf coach. Laura Ionello, Tony Amato, who's doing very well in the soccer field, and Lamont Lovett. Who don't you have?
I know. I have to tell you, did you mention Corey Williams?
I did mention Corey, yes.
Okay. All right. My thing, in quotes, is I so admire Steve athletes. And so, you know, that's kind of my number one priority when I'm gathering these celebrities. I just think what they do is so noble and accomplished. So, yes, the lion's share, and forgive me for all you media types, who are also have been asked to cook. But I my heart is with the athletes, and that's why the lion's share of these fabulous celebrities are indeed very accomplished athletes. And, you know, it's mind-blowing to, you know, get just one high-profile athlete to show up at a fundraiser, let alone 18. So, I mean, this is an amazing event. We have just a couple of seats left. And, you know, if anybody would like to attend this event, I would love to have them. And all you have to do is go to the Easter Seals Blake Foundation website and just kind of click along until you find Cooking with the Stars.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I think typically, I was there 2 years ago and a few years before that, Luis Gonzalez would bring some baseballs and sign them for, you know, obviously for the charities. A lot of cool items that you have in silent auctions. I kind of go for that. I kind of look around and see what I can afford, which is, you know, not much, but I try.
Right. No. Steve, we've taken you into account this year.
Oh, you have?
And, yes, we have tons of U of A sports packages, and they're priced at all sorts of different levels. We're doing 3 live auction packages, including, if I'm not mistaken, a haunted Jerome tour, which includes 2 nights at a fabulous B&B, 2 tours of haunted Bisbee, and dinner at the haunted Hamburger. So it's all sorts of fun. And, you know, I would just say, if you are able to attend the event, bring an autograph book, because, as I said, it's kind of crazy to get this many celebs in the same room.
Right, no question. And not just B-listers. These are Tucson's A-listers.
I think so. And, you know, the fact that Gonzo comes down is fabulous, right? He, of course, you know, notorious Steve for those crazy
commercials.
Yes, commercials with Mr. On. I am Mr. On's son. They haven't made any of those for a while, but we're so happy to have him. And, you know, Reggie Geary, who is back working at the U of A, of course, you know, one of the best basketball players we've ever had. Just a remarkable personality. Lamont Lovett doing the color commentary for U of A football. Chuck Cecil, he was, you know, Steve, on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right. I'm sure people still have that Sports Illustrated somewhere around. They could probably bring that around and have him signature that when he was too tough for football.
Is this guy too vicious for the NFL?
Yeah, that's it right
that
there, yes.
Caption. Yeah, it's remarkable. And, of course, you know, Matt Muehlbach, what is not to like about that guy? He's just one of the most remarkable players ever in U of A history. So
never to lose at McHale.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Barnes, you know, Steve, what do you anticipate for the U of A women's program next season?
Yeah, nothing but the best for the DM. She set the community on fire all of March. Who would have thought that? I mean, you and I have been here a long time. There's no way you would have told me 15, 20, 10 years ago that place would have been sold out for a women's game. But guess what? They pulled it off.
One of the most remarkable, heartwarming experiences ever. I'm happy to say that I did not pass by that opportunity. I was there in the nosebleeds, watching that happen, and just incredible. Yes, I know the tournament is definitely on the horizon for the U of A women, and it's just, I mean, basketball is such a beautiful game. It's so poetic. So on to bigger and better things. It's amazing.
Yeah, no question. And the future with that team, that program with her behind it should be fantastic.
Absolutely. And she's so charismatic. You know, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, no question. Now, the community needs something like that. And we'll see what Sean Miller has in store for us this year. Should be interesting because of the recruits. Very talented. If he just can get them to play together, there could be some nice things happening in March.
Indeed. And Steve, I want to note that, of course, you know, Coach Miller, you know, was so famous for his ball handling skills as a young kid. He was on The Tonight Show. Right, and then he was also in the movie The Fish That Saved
Philadelphia, was it?
Philadelphia,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what that translates to at Cooking with the Stars?
Nothing? What is it?
No, not nothing. You know, the Teban chef, oh my gosh, it's a little bit scary and dangerous, but the Teban chefs actually, you know, grill the fabulous shrimp and then cut it into smaller bites. And then they look for mouths. Yes.
Yes.
And Coach Miller is so good at tossing this piece of grilled shrimp into the mouths of his guests. Of his suspecting guests, of course.
Right.
That it's really a thrill to watch.
Right, right. Betsy, as you know, in the business, you've been in forever. I got to take a hard break here at 6:30, but good luck this weekend or Thursday, and we'll see you there.
Steve, really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Great, thank you. Take care. See you soon. Bye.
You bet. Let's
take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now let's go back to the phone line and talk to Coach David Thomas out in Phoenix now these days via Tucson, via Kansas. Is that right, Coach?
Colorado.
I'm sorry.
Colorado.
All those states up north look the same to me because they're all cold.
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing I love about being back in Arizona, just the weather out here. I could live with the heat. The cold was a little difficult for me.
I hear you because I'm in the same boat. Hey, so you wake me up this morning. You say, did you hear the news? I'm thinking, what happened now? And you gave me the story about this high school coach in Phoenix. And I'm thinking, kind of like, you're too young for this, the Peyton Place where things went awry. How in the world does this happen?
You know, I don't know. I think the kind of climate that we're in terms of just being competitive, mainly for coaches, you know, high school coaches, they got to win basketball games, or they got to win football games, you know, because they could be replaced at any minute. And so that competitive advantage, I think, that competitive nature in them, they're looking for any type of advantage. And, you know, I don't believe it to be all coaches, all high school coaches or anything like that, but once in a while it gets the better of some people.
Yeah, but this guy was kind of almost not ratting out his own school, but he was giving the other teams unfair advantage over his own school.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, every coach that I've talked to, that's the most shocking thing. You know, you typically get either dads or other coaches who've got a quote-unquote vendetta or they would, you know, would rather see one team beat, you know, a team that beat them prior. Help out with the scouting report and stuff like that. But you typically, this is the first time I've heard of someone doing it to their own school. It's almost like a point shaving scandal.
Yes.
Why
yes.
You really do that.
Right, right. You probably haven't heard anything like this in your career, although you've kind of probably heard some, you know, other opponents trying to steal playbooks.
No, absolutely. Again, you know, you go back to the competitive advantage, you know, you get kids that transfer and talk about plays and talk about, you know, playbooks. You know, I think it was this last year when I was at Colorado Christian, we had a kid from a conference foe transfer in to play with us, and he still had his playbook. And my head coach, to his credit, Coach Hiranaka, wanted no part of it. You know, he said, look, do whatever you want with it, but we're not going to use that, you know. And I guess, once in a while, like I said, I guess it gets the best of some people.
Yeah, it's funny. You could have someone's playbook, and what does it really matter? You don't know what they're going to run. You can't prevent their talent to, you know, if you're just not good enough, you're not going to beat them. So why use that playbook? You know, because you don't know what they're going to play, unless of course they structure their plays. You know, we're going to do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's really no point. But this guy, he'll never coach again, I would assume.
I would assume, you know, I read something on the Washington Post so that he had already gotten another job. They couldn't identify where. But a little to your point, you know, Coach Dwayne Eason was out, who was the former boys basketball coach at Mountain Point when this all was happening. He's now the head coach at Phoenix College, Phoenix Community College. He was quoted as saying, you know, at the end of the day, we still have to put the ball in the hole.
Right.
We've got to prevent them from doing it. So, he kind of had a more lighter view of it. You know, I think everybody in the community is just kind of shocked. It's a large betrayal of not only the school, but the student athletes. There's, you know, a lot of kids who invest a lot of time, their 4 years, either for their basketball team, baseball team, football team, whatever the case may be, and to have someone they've entrusted to make them better players and better people betray them like that, that's I'm shocked. And it's certainly the first time I had ever heard of it, something like that.
It's strange because there's real no, unless it comes out later, there's no real motivation for him to do this, one. And two, as I was reading more about the story, it's funny because I don't know how the story broke, and I said this earlier, I don't know how the newspapers or the TV stations got wind of it, but I know that he sent some documents to a team in Vegas. The coach in Vegas said thanks, but no thanks, and that was it with that. But how many coaches did he actually do this to in state that didn't say a word?
You know, that's going to be interesting to find out. The AIA is doing an investigation, if I understand it correctly, from, you know, I don't know any more than what everybody else is reading in the news. So I don't mean to sound like I've got a lot of insight. I've just read a lot of articles and people are talking about it. So from what I understand, the AIA's got an investigation going on and they're trying to figure out, you know, who actually took the notes as a competitive advantage. There are already instances coming out where coaches are saying, hey, I told our school district about this. And so it'll be interesting to see. I you know, my hat's off to that football coach in Vegas. I believe he's actually the one that broke it. I can't remember, it's a Lutheran school out in Vegas, but he's the one that broke, you know, told the head coach, told the athletic department, and this is kind of what got the ball rolling. I mean, kudos to him for, you know, being a stand-up individual and wanting to win, you know, without that type of competitive advantage.
Yeah, no question. I guess he's a former NFL player, 7-8 years mm-hmm. in the NFL. Vernon Fox, I think, is his name. So he had to have told his boss, who's in turn told his boss, and it eventually came out in the press somehow that this had been happening. And the coach himself was not that old. Maybe he had to be 40-ish.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, being a young coach, he had a successful career at Cibola High School in Yuma, and then took the Mountain Point job, which is a really good job out here in Phoenix, only to do that. And you know, it's just wild their own staff would sabotage young student athletes. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like a huge betrayal, like finding out your loved one has been cheating on you and doing bad deeds. In fact, I guess it's Coach Hager is his name, and he was coaching for at least 15 years and then was named AIA Division II Coach of the Year in 2013-14 while coach of the girls basketball team. I mean, it's just a bizarre story, and the reason why would be the biggest question.
You know, and I'm surprised. I mean, I haven't even heard assumptions from people. I'm surprised people haven't said anything. I know just seeing the social media reactions, you see a lot of hurt student athletes, a lot of hurt feelings. I mean, they entrusted this young guy to, you know, anytime you get into coaching, you're more than a coach. You're a mentor. A father figure, and to have that, it's just the ultimate betrayal. And it's a really, really unfortunate thing. And he was, like you said, he was a successful coach. I don't understand what made him go the other direction.
And it's very funny because he was the assistant football coach at the time, and he would give his teams information to the opponent. I mean, I've never, I'd say, you know, hey, Dave, I'm playing against you in softball or baseball or whatever. I'm going to hit you the ball. Dave, I'm going to hit you the ball. You better catch it. If you don't catch it, I'm going to embarrass you if you don't catch it. Know what I'm saying? I'm telling you I'm going to do it. But this is beyond belief.
No, without question. And it really, to hear some of the things that have come out, you know, in terms of the in-depth information that he was giving. I mean, he was literally sending pictures of formations that he was taking of practices. He was sending playbook plays. He was literally stopping Coach Eason, the men's basketball coach, in the hallway and chopping it up in terms of basketball strategies. Wow. And then just going and emailing the other opposing coaches. And that's just, some of the big games, they're saying, you know, the football game where they lost in the state semis to Pinnacle, they're saying that had something to do with it, you know. I think you said it earlier, they felt like it was a game where they came out with new plays and then nothing at all surprised them. And
right.
It felt like they had their playbook, and evidently they did.
Have you been in one of those games or coached in one of those games where, God, these guys are so good, they know exactly what we're doing?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've been in that seat. I think my first job at Catalina Magnet High School, there was a lot of turnover in terms of student athletes and stuff. It was very, a new coach, young players. We go into Sabino. They've got Matt Bushman, who's a BYU football player. They've got some really good guys, and they lay a 60-pound on us. And I remember thinking, like, man, they knew everything we were going to do it before we. I even called it out. I mean, yeah. This, unfortunately, it has happened.
Right. That's funny. It's like my guy here says the catcher tells the hitter what the next pitch is going to be in baseball. You know, the signals, and they steal signs and stuff. Even then, that's kind of taboo, mm-hmm. but you can still do it. Just bizarre, yeah. Bizarre. Hey, but welcome back to the state. I know you're going to be busy here up in Phoenix at your new school. How's it going?
It's been going great. You know, we're a first year program. This is the first year of the university. It's called Park University, and it's in downtown Gilbert. Right now we've got about 300, just under 400 students. I would say about 340-ish are student athletes between men's, women's basketball, men's, women's volleyball, golf, and soccer, and baseball and softball. Actually, our baseball coach is Kelly Sinet, a former Diamondback.
Right.
So there's a lot of excitement going around in the town of Gilbert. Just the way the town has welcomed the university has been really, really awesome. And, there's been some ups and downs, but I think it's just a fun experience that I can put on my resume. My head coach, Gordon Stubblefield, who was an assistant coach at Park University back in Missouri, our parent campus, he's been an awesome, awesome guy to just kind of sit back and learn from, and see how he's doing things, right now we're working in our preseason workouts. Guys are getting after it, and we've got our first official practice on Monday. So I'm ready to get going.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's good catching up with you. And can I give you some advice?
Oh, please do.
Keep that playbook under lock and key.
I promise you I will.
Don't trust anybody in this business. Don't trust anybody.
Uh-huh. All right. I tell you.
Thanks,
Thank
Coach.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right,
I
Coach.
Appreciate you.
Good luck. Good luck. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was Coach David Thomas, a good friend. Good guy up in Phoenix trying to get a career of his going in the college ranks. I know we're a little late. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Let's go back to the phone lines. Pancho, how are you, Pancho? You're alive.
Hey, Steve. How's it going? Great weekend, huh?
Wow, a surprising weekend to me. How did you enjoy your weekend seeing your Cats pull off the win?
I got to tell you, with so many years of being a season ticket holder, I know I don't ever remember a 13-play, 99.5-yard touchdown drive in the second half. There's no question about that. And I also, on the flip side, don't ever remember an Arizona football crowd that did not chant U of A until the fourth quarter. The fans were sitting on their hands waiting.
Wow.
Did you notice that?
No. What did you think of the crowd at 37,000? I think it was a little less than that in reality.
I think that means most of the Arizona fans didn't think they were going to win.
I agree.
I don't
totally
know
agree.
If the starting time or TV had anything to do with that. I think Arizona fans like to fill that stadium when Arizona's playing well and or playing a good team and they're playing okay. And I don't think they thought Arizona was playing well, and they didn't think Arizona was going to beat Texas Tech.
I wonder if you agree with me about something.
Welcome to my world, Pancho. Tom wants to talk.
You were dead wrong, okay? John called you out on Friday and said, I walked the plank, and you said it doesn't matter if it's a short plank or a long plank, and you said 50 to 40.
Oh, yes.
Texas Tech.
Yes.
And no, that is not what happened. Arizona won that football game.
Go ahead, Tom.
All right, talking about the crowd and the game, there was a point in that game when that crowd all of a sudden realized, you know what? This game is special, and we are going to win it. And you know what that point was?
I think it was when they...
When Khalil Tate
broke... I knew we were going to win the game when they held Texas Tech on fourth down in the fourth quarter. And then Texas Tech was not going to score a touchdown to make it 28-21 and attempt an onside kick and steal that game from
them.
We held them on fourth down and then didn't give the ball back. That's when I thought we won the game.
It was third quarter when Khalil Tate broke free for that touchdown run, and the crowd got the loudest that it had been during the whole game. They really got into it watching him sprint for the end zone. That's when it happened.
Another time when I think the crowd gained confidence was when they noticed that quarterback was on the sideline and then went into the clubhouse, you know, and his left shoulder was screwed up. Texas Tech quarterback. And he got the first drive that he came back in the game, he hit that little number 13 guy on a short post, and then he hit him in the back of the end zone as well. But that was it. Everything else was a three-step drop. He had to get rid of the ball quickly because he was not going to get hit, and the coaches weren't going to let him get hit. So they defended that outstanding. Steve, this was a well-rounded win, exempting the special teams.
I'm just sitting here watching or listening to you and Tom talk. This is free money for me. You know that. I don't have to work.
I know. It makes your job easier and it makes the show better. I tell you.
Yeah. I make it better by not talking.
But you know what we haven't mentioned yet?
What's
the running game. That 99-yard march down the field for the touchdown was run after run after run. I don't think there was one pass.
Tom, he talked about that.
No, there wasn't. The last 19 plays of the game were runs.
And the guys, no J.J. Taylor. It was Brightwell, White, and Wiley carrying the load.
I wish I knew the name of every offensive lineman, and I would say them right now. Those were the players of the game. That's how you win football games right there. And again, like I said, the defense held them on fourth down late in the fourth quarter, and they won the game in the victory formation. They didn't win the game with the defense on the field trying to prevent that last-minute touchdown. That's how you win a football game.
So
they look like a good football team.
So, Tony, let me ask you, what did this victory do for you fans? Give you hope? What did it do?
Oh, absolutely. His first season, he started 1-2. His second season, he has now started 2-1. That is an improvement. And that's where we stop. And we take a week off, and we look back at Khalil Tate when he played athlete and got the Pac-12 Player of the Week 4 weeks in a row and had 800 yards rushing or whatever it was. And then he had the contrasting season. I said this already to you. He had the contrasting season the following year. He got dinged up. He was trying to learn how to pass. But if you remember, the last game of his first season was against Purdue in that bowl game, and he had a fantastic game. He threw the ball well. So then Sumlin and Mazzoni come in, and they try to convert him into a passer, and he had a whole season to get better. This season so far, he has improved. All his throws aren't right there. Some of his reads aren't right there. All quarterbacks throw interceptions, good or bad. You get to the NFL after, you know, 7 years, your interception ratio comes down. But up to that point, you're going to get picked off, and he still got picked off. He's got another week to get better. They play UCLA, who I'm listening to the LA stations today, Steve, on the radio. It is a five-alarm fire at UCLA right now. They're saying Chip Kelly gave up. They're saying the players gave up. They're going to get waxed by Washington State, and who knows what they'll be like when they get to Tucson.
I wonder if you guys agree with me about this, about Khalil Tate. It seemed to me that he's been kind of gingerly gaining his confidence that his ankle is good again and he can rely on it. And I think he finally got that confidence in this game. Especially when you especially when he had that long touchdown run.
I don't know. He's just a confident guy. He does need this to keep his confidence. So it's funny. I'm sure it kind of harkened back to 2 years ago when he had that fantastic month because he almost went untouched, and there's no way they're going to catch him. But he's like one of those players that needs that confidence. There's no question. But it wasn't through the arm. It wasn't via the arm. It was via the legs. So I think that maybe that'll convince him to run even more. Which means good things for Arizona.
Well, yeah, definitely. He there's no question he lost his confidence in the run last season. He didn't have confidence most of the season with the run. And you and I both agreed as well, Steve, that he wouldn't plant his sideline foot and cut up field. You notice the touchdown that he scored, he went directly
straight.
He had an opportunity after about 25, 30 yards. That corner was kind of being blocked. He could have gone sideline. He went downfield, he saw the safety coming over, and he outsprinted him. Now, that's how he did such a good job before, was staying down the middle of the field, not running out of bounds, using the entire field with a better angle. So I think his confidence is very high right now. There's no question. He's a, kind of a sensitive kid. He's learning. He can make a lot of throws. He's still learning all of the throws three-dimensionally. How do you get the ball into the space? There's only a certain amount of space where the ball can be caught. You have to eliminate the space where it's going to get intercepted. He's learning all of those things. I think they're obviously a running football team. They've led the Pac-12 conference in rushing yards the last two seasons. Why not continue to do that? Let that offensive line gain confidence too. And the defense all of a sudden is, they had a completely different game plan than we've seen from him.
So let me ask you this, we had about 45 seconds left. Given that you might be suspicious or superstitious, you coming back down for the UCLA game?
Absolutely. Got to.
You are?
Like I said, respect the streak, right? If you're winning, don't change anything. So I went to the game with my wife. I guess I got to come to the game with my wife again.
Well, good luck with that. Be safe. We'll talk to you again next week anyway to talk about next week's game. We'll see what happens.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Hey, busy day today. We had Betsy Bruce call in. We had Coach David Thomas, now Poncho, my regular guy. Good show today. Thanks, everybody. Good to see you, Tom. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I'll be here.
10:30 The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk.